Talaarawan ng Bagong Kaalaman. Hatid namin sa inyo ang iba't ibang webinars, online-based discussions, at iba pang diskurso sa loob at labas ng universidad. Dito sa Talaalaman, DZUP Special Features.
Magandang araw mga kasali! Nakikinig kayo sa Talaalaman, DZUP Special Features kung saan tayo ay nakakapakinig ng mga recording ng webinars at iba pang online-based discussions. Para sa araw na ito, ating pakikinggan ang uling bahagi ng webinar na pinamagatang Future of Work, Moving Forward During a Pandemic. Kasama natin ang mga resource speakers na sina Dr. Joyce Joya, Professor Agus Promcinto, at iba pa. Ito ay inorganisa ng UP National College of Public Administration and Governance at unang inere noong December 19, 2020. Pakinggan natin.
So for the methodology of our study, we employed a positivist research model. Since this study involved only the data collection and data interpretation, so our conceptual framework illustrates that the five variables in the study, basically we want to find out if work from home arrangement have direct effect on turnover intention of government employees in Metro Manila, or whether the relationship between the two is mediated by work personal life balance or work autonomy or work family conflict. So basically we employ the research strategy quantitative analysis, at this point in time, only exploratory in nature. So for our data, we used only primary data, which was gathered through survey. Our target population is are the government employees in Metro Manila. We served as our unit of analysis. We deployed a survey questionnaire online for this purpose through using Google Forms on November 7 to 15. And we employed descriptive and inferential statistics in our analysis. So for the survey questionnaire, basically it is composed of two parts. Part one is composed of categorical questions. We ask the respondents questions like, are you engaged in work from home or arrangement? And part two is mainly composed of a Likert scale, designed to gather data for the study variables. May I allow me to please jump into the important results?
Okay.
The SEM showed the system of relationships between the different variables, the factor loadings, and the correlation between the different variables. So basically, what we would like to show in this SEM model is the direct positive effect of work from home arrangement to work autonomy and to work personal life balance. So this means basically that as work from home arrangement increases, the work autonomy and the work personal life balance also increases. Similarly, we are also interested to show to the audience the direct negative impact of the work family conflict to the turnover intention. So basically, what this implies is that there is an indirect effect of work from home arrangement on turnover intention, which is mediated by the work autonomy. So table 3 shows the regression weights of the independent variables and dependent variables. What is interesting to see in the table 3 is the significant positive effect of work from home arrangement on work personal life balance, and the significant positive effect of work from home on work autonomy. It is also interesting to see in this regression weights that the there is a negative effect of work autonomy on turnover intention. This implies that there is an indirect negative effect of work from home arrangement on employee turnover intention. So based on the result of our study, we interpreted that since the product of the coefficient A and B, or which represents the coefficients between work from home and work autonomy, and work autonomy and turnover intention, is not equal to zero. So our first hypothesis, our first null hypothesis is false. Therefore, we reject it and accept the alternative hypothesis. And then for the second hypothesis, since beta is not equal to zero, we reject the null hypothesis and therefore accept the alternative hypothesis. The result of the regression analysis show that the work from home arrangement has direct effect on work-personal life balance. And for the third hypothesis, since beta is not equal also to zero, the third null hypothesis is rejected and we accepted the alternative hypothesis. The result of the regression analysis show that the work-family conflict has direct positive effect on the turnover intention. So basically, for as a result of our study, work from home arrangement negatively affects employee turnover intention of government employees in Metro Manila. However, the government should provide administrative support to each employees who are engaged in work from home arrangement if this is promoted as the future of work in the Philippines. The Civil Service Commission and the Department of Budget and Management may provide guidelines for this purpose. And the second one, we concluded that the work from home arrangement has positive direct effect on work-personal life balance. So if satisfaction from work from home arrangement increases, the balance between work and personal life of the employees also increases. And lastly, we conclude that the work-family conflict has positive direct effect on turnover intention. This means that as more conflict exists between work and family in government employees, there is a higher turnover intention among them. So of course, this is just an exploratory analysis at this point. So the group aims to further strengthen the results of our study by conducting a validation interview in the future. This ends our presentation. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present our result.
And thirdly, to discuss employee motivation as it relates to performance monitoring, we are very pleased to be joined by Attorney Juvie Camille Falcon. Attorney Falcon, ma'am, you have the floor.
Thank you. Hi, Lance. For future of work, we would like to venture on the performance monitoring system 2020 and beyond. And with me is Ms. Arlene Panlilio, and we also have here Jennifer Mendoza. They are my group mates. So our team conducted a quick and short survey among the air traffic controllers of the Civil Aviation Authority of the Philippines as a preliminary topic of our research, the relationship of telecommuting and motivation as reflected on the 2020 Performance Monitoring Management System. Ms. Arlene Panlilio personally deployed the survey, and it shows that 63% of our respondent air traffic controllers do not report all of the safety occurrence happening in their shift. The safety occurrence is the term used to embrace all events which could have or could have significance in the context of aviation safety. And the reason for not submitting the actual number, they said that it's because of the ratings in the IPCR. Let me show with you the actual and current IPCR of an air traffic controller. IPCR refers to individual employees performance commitment and review form. This is just part of the strategic performance management system. But with this IPCR, this is where we can see the target for this year of an employee, the actual accomplishment. And with this actual accomplishment, we could see or we could provide feedback during the rating period. This form is uniform policy with most executive departments of the government. And with this current situation that alternative work arrangements are being adopted by different offices, especially in the executive department, there are therefore challenges. How do we ensure that work is done in the right manner, in the right quantity, and at the right time? So should we decide to continue using this virtual platform? We could see that We could start by creating a virtual workspace using existing platforms, such as we now have use Google, we have Microsoft, we have Zoom, and we can progress from this to a virtual office where documents could be accessed for a particular time of the day to ensure that no one starts to work sporadically or in the wee hours of the morning. We could say we could conduct meetings in the comfort of the place where we would like to be, and we could see in real time how far each one of us is doing and how far are we are in terms of our work. We are thinking of is actually not new. In business processing outsourcing, they actually have this technology that they could determine the average handling time, for example, because they could see how long have you been on the phone, who are you talking to, are you going to escalate the call, are you putting the customer on hold, how many calls are coming, how many calls have already been addressed. If we could have this virtual government agency workspace and we utilize similar technology, if not identical technology, in the back end of this virtual workplace system, then we could be able to get real-time statistics on how far we are at work. Although we are fully aware that it needs to undergo a rigid process, there are laws on procurement and it needs approval of national government agencies like the National Economic Development Authority. There are also matters we have to consider, like we Filipinos, as we are, we have this thing called pakikisama sa kapwa earlier in our survey. Aside from the concern on their rate in IPCR, the second thing that comes into mind among our respondent is that pakikisama sa kapwa. It's giving consideration to your office mate and also to other people in general. Before we have this rating system where our colleagues get to appraise our performance, we do not have it now, but it's something that is in we can consider in the future. So we have this, we're thinking about this virtual workplace, workplace wherein we could have this performance monitoring system in the back end. And for a group that is highly interested in the future of performance monitoring reports, this kind of automation is highly promising and possible. We hope that in a few years from now, when we ask again the same question, do you report all the things that needs to be reported? The answer would be yes, because the latest and innovative technology must be integrated in public service. For our government to make proper decisions, we must be given the most accurate data available. That's all, thank you.
Thank you very much, Attorney Juvie Camille Falcon, ma'am. And of course, we thank all of our presenters, Mr. Kadapan, Ms. Mabalay, Ms. Ismael, Mr. Matute, and Attorney Falcon and their respective teams for their discussions on the challenges that we now must face as we move forward towards the future of work. To further substantiate our discussion today, we are very fortunate to have as our reactor Professor Sherman Cruz. Professor Cruz is founder, executive director, and chief futurist of the Center for Engaged Foresight. A professional futurist and a certified business continuity management professional, he is a core member of UNESCO's Global Futures Literacy Network, a founding member of the Asia-Pacific Futures Network, and a full member of the Association of Professional Futurists and the World Futures Studies Federation. He has delivered keynotes and facilitated workshops in over 11 countries and has published reports and papers on topics such as city futures, international relations, global politics, public administration, and governance in some of the leading global futures and foresight journals. He is currently one of the regional editors of the Journal of Future Studies. Professor Cruz is a recognized expert on risk management, business continuity, crisis management, public policy, and program administration, humanities and international relations, public ethics, and global environmental politics. He has also served as the director of the Philippine Center for Foresight Education and Innovation Research, the Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, and Department Chair of the Public Administration and Political Science Programs, as well as the University Planning Officer of the Northwestern University in the city of Lawag, province of Ilocos Norte, Philippines. Friends and colleagues, let us welcome Professor Sherman Cruz. Professor Cruz, sir, you have the floor.
Thank you very much for that kind introduction. Let me just jump in right away. So, you know, just to put context of what I'm going to react on is, of course, it's good to hear, you know, the different levels of how the future of work in a Philippine context, in a, you know, imagine from a public sector space done at this strategic, tactical, operational levels. But what I'm going to use today is my hat as a business continuity professional, you know, for in the private sector. You know, I've worked as a business continuity location leader and country location leader for Accenture, EY, PwC. And just recently, you know, I've helped set up a business continuity advisory services program for John Clements. And 2 weeks before the pandemic was declared by the government, we've been actually preparing for that for some of the organization that I've been with 5 years, 7 years ago. And with the last organization that I've worked with, we've been preparing for that since we heard about the, you know, certain unknown virus, you know, in China, you know, I think that was December. It was publicized during that time. And what we did was to create immediately a framework, you know, to determine the phases of how the COVID pandemic will emerge. And in partnership, of course, with Dr. Lindstedt, you know, who is an adaptive business continuity expert, together with him, you know, we tried to face, you know, the pandemic on how it would evolve. The first one was like, for the next 10 weeks after the World Health Organization declared the pandemic, you know, we saw a scenario wherein there will be a lot of compliances and cooperation happening all over the world, you know, at the organizational level, public sector spaces, so forth and so on. So you need to create that strategy, you know, to comply and cooperate. You know, that was the first 10 to 15 weeks at the global level. And then after the 10 to 12 weeks or 15 weeks, you know, we imagined the scenario wherein there will be treatment, but there will be no cure. So there we will, you know, the public space, public health sector, we will experiment on a treatment regimen. Many will die, you know. And then, of course, we saw, you know, the possibility of organization invoking their business continuity and crisis management plan. There were no rules, but there will be anxiety, you know. So we imagine that happening for the next 20 weeks. Now, for the what's the scenario for the next 40 weeks? You know, until the year 2021, you know, what we learned in the scenario work that we do, that there will be competition and adaptation. You know, we will be in that stage. You know, it's not yet the post-COVID normal times, but rather the scenario, and actually we are in that scenario now. And we did the research for some of the governments in Europe and in the US, and we are actually now in the COVID-19 normalization phase. You know, when you say COVID-19 normalization phase, the pandemic, the COVID-19, its implication to enterprises and the public sector will be some sort of a social and cultural phenomena. You know, given that the risk has been acknowledged, you know, of course we have that idea, the scenario wherein vaccine will be available in the next couple of months, we saw that there will be emerging challenges, you know, in a post-COVID-19 normalization scenario. So for the company that I'm involved with right now, we conducted a research, you know, for 100 companies in the Philippines, you know, and we learned that majority of the company has a business continuity plan, but they don't have a pandemic plan, you know. And then, of course, there are only several companies in the Philippines that has a mature, you know, business continuity arrangement. Because when you talk about business continuity arrangement, you're actually talking about work from home arrangements. You know, that is the context of business continuity. And of course, there are technical aspects that you need to look into. But the most important thing that we need to consider as far as embarking in a project, you know, of arranging, you know, work from home for the public sector space is to find ways by which you can build trust and to ensure the safety of employees in a return to the workplace scenario. You know, many companies right now, you know, especially in the Philippines, who are operating in the Philippines, are you know, speculating, trying to figure out, exploring ways and arrangement on how to combine a return to the workplace, you know, at some levels, and work from home arrangement at some levels. You know, some organizations like Google, Facebook, you know, they're actually looking an arrangement of like, okay, business and work from home forever. As long as the company and the enterprise exist, they see the possibility of working from home forever, and not just working from home. You know, they're now considering the idea of working anywhere and everywhere beyond home, because there are risk issues related to working from home. You know, if there are workplaces that are really vulnerable to risk and threats, it's the home, right? It's not as if that is resilient when compared to, you know, institutional or workplaces that we built over the years. You know, another thing that we need to consider is that, of course, the strategic and tactical arrangements of how are you going to do this? Now, what I would suggest, you know, when we're developing, you know, public sector work from home arrangement, is that we have to use a lens of an some sort of an enterprise mindset. You know, if we can operate public sector work from home arrangement, you know, we have to like use the enterprise mindset to actually like facilitate that. Of course, in the public sector realm, it's much more complex than private organizations. And just to quickly point out, I know several things that we need to consider when we start building work from home arrangements. No, let me just get my note. So in a COVID-19 normalization scenario, these are the several things that we need to take note of. One is, of course, the proclamation number 10-10-21. Diba? We are placed under state of calamity until September. No, so we are still in a crisis mode. And in a crisis mode, it gives you an opportunity to actually like fast track, right? Work from home arrangement, institutionalization in the public sector. You know, because after that, when the crisis is declared, you know, it might affect the momentum. It could be positive or done negatively. Second is the relaxation of quarantine measures. You know, we've seen all over the world that governments are now experimenting to relax quarantine measures. Like, for example, reducing the number of quarantine days from 14 days to 7 days. You know, and then they will continue to relax the quarantine measures, you know, in a pandemic scenario, but perhaps in the next 16 to 20 weeks, the pandemic hopefully can be reduced at a below crisis levels. You know, if we go beyond crisis level, will give us an opportunity to experiment, improvise further. But then we also need to take note that there will be outbreak. It could occur in multiple waves. You know, some countries right now, governments, you know, are preparing, you know, for multiple waves of the pandemic, because it will always be there. So, and then another one, as far as workplace scenario are concerned, because some companies are now looking into the possibility of re-entry, you know, to the workplace. You know, they are now looking into that. But of course, they're also preparing, you know, for the types of systems and arrangement that they need to set up in order to ensure that their employees trust them as far as the idea of returning to the workplace. And second, to ensure that they have a hospital grade prevention control measures response, because the idea really is to prevent an outbreak, you know, happening in the workplace. You know, everybody can get a COVID now, anyone, you know. And then we've been doing better in terms of treatment, right? And then if the vaccine will be available, that will even lessen the risk. But then what the companies are trying to do is to prevent an outbreak. Because if an outbreak occurs in the workplace, that could close the office for several weeks, you know? And then another thing, which is, of course, work from home, is some organizations are now trying to explore, and they have actually approved it, you know, like Google, you know, except for, of course, for the industries that who are into finance and accounting, they're kind of pretty like looking into some arrangements, but some of them have taken businesses remote forever. But then it's good to point out that when you do work from home arrangement, one of the emerging risk landscape really is cybersecurity. You know, do we have the information technology disaster recovery plan to ensure, you know, that our data are protected? and of course, you know, there are laws to that, you know, pwede kang makulong, no? And you can be imprisoned and you can be, of course, there's accountability, you know, and that would affect the entire institution, the system, including the chairs and your bosses. They will be affected if a cybersecurity incident occurs in the Philippines. And we have to take note that the Philippines is actually a hot spot, you know, for cybersecurity incidents. You know, we've seen that. It's always been the model, you know, for what not to do in cybersecurity commission and elections. Diba? So that is something that we need to look into. And of course, mental health and well-being. I've seen in some Facebook memes and the updates, you know, that there could be an increase in the number of suicide. And then particularly, you know, apparently for some of the countries that is related to working from home. So, and just to point out some other things that we need to take note of is, of course, other than the cybersecurity emerging risk landscape is the vaccine. Okay, the vaccine is still on its basically in a public sector, you know, you could say trial. While they don't know what are the implications of this yet. But of course, everybody must have a shot of that, and to ensure that we can lessen the risk, you know, as far as the public sector workplaces are concerned. And natural disasters will continue to be a risk. You know, imagine working from home and then suddenly you're hit by, super typhoon. You know, your homes will be flooded. So what's your business continuity plan? You know, if you have work from home arrangement, would you go to your institutional workplaces or your traditional workplace? Or are the institution like the Civil Service Commission set up their own business continuity recovery spaces? So should the government now think of places and locations that are less, you know, exposed to risk in flooding, in cybersecurity, you know, in terrorism, and so forth and so on. There are really many things that you need to consider. No, it's not like an outright silver bullet when you talk about work from home. The organization and the business processes are resilient. It doesn't follow like that. It's not automatic. You know, work from home arrangement should be done in a way that is would build trust and accountability, and at the same time ensure, you know, the well-being of employees. Companies and organizations actually has been doing that in the last 10 years, you know, and they've been doing work from home. You know, they've been simulating, you know, some organization with 250,000 employees all over the world have been simulating work from home arrangement in the event of a crisis. They've been doing that. So I think the government need to deepen its interface with the corporate sector, especially those corporate sector that has a mature work from home arrangement. You know, we have companies and organizations like that in the Philippines. You know, they can actually like run 50,000 employees working from home. So those operational and tactical aspects that you have considered, you might want to, you know, interview them and check, you know, what are the best practices that guarantees that are human-centric work from home arrangement. Because there are work from home arrangements that are not necessarily human centric. They just transfer the work processes, the technology, without the human element in mind, you know, and that is risky. Diba? So we have to consider that. And again, public sector realms are more complex than companies and corporations and private types of leadership and governance. And again, the virus longevity is there. It will be with us forever, that's for sure. And about work from home arrangement, I would just like to share to you, you know, a project that I'm currently like working on, you know, providing advice to companies operating in the Philippines. Okay, now what's our work from home arrangement, you know, in a COVID-19 normalization scenario? So we did some scenario work, anticipatory risk management. We used foresight to anticipate the scenarios of how the COVID-19 could evolve in a post-crisis levels. So we did that. We have three scenarios. I'm not going to discuss that anymore. But just to go to the aspect of work from home, we learned that companies and core organizations can actually do four work from home types or typologies. Now, this was the typology that we've been able to create. Hybrid work from home model. You know, what is this hybrid work from home model? You know, the variables were increasing COVID-19 cases, decreasing COVID-19 cases, work from home to 2021, return to workplace to 2021. So those are your variables. Now, scenario one, hybrid work from home. I am back model, no? In an increasing COVID-19 case of infection and work from home through 2021 scenario, a hybrid work from home model can be arranged. Here, the institution offers its employees to opt for a flexible work arrangement. Gusto mo ba or hindi? Diba? That makes your work from home model human-centric because you are not just imposing work from home. If people does not want it, why do you want to arrange a work from home for people who does not want work from home? You know, you have to ask them if they like it. You know, a flexible work from home arrangement. You have to consider that when people are working from home, they have family obligations. You know, and students are studying at home. So that makes it even more complicated. So the idea for this scenario is a blend of both work from home and in-office methods of working. It has to be family-centric. If the employee does not want it, don't impose it. If the employee prefers to opt from a flexible working arrangement, go for it. Diba? But it has to be human-centric. Second, this one is less human-centric. Work from home model of distributed teams. You don't require 100% of your employees to work from home. No, you have to make an arrangement of distributed teams, like depending on the office, like this department for this particular schedule or month will be working from home at a certain level, 30%, 20% headcount, you know, or is it 50, 60%? Can we support it? Because there are resources requirements that you need to put into budget. You cannot like do 100% work from home, right? So distributive teams, for this month, is it the finance? For this month, is it, would it be the office of the mayor or the office of the governor or so forth and so on? So distributive teams is less risky, yeah? So, and then that would require less resources. Another one, of course, the preferred future scenario is full return to new normal workplace, wherein 100% will be working from home. But that is far out, as far as I think the public sector is concerned, because that, you know, it's really big, that it's very hard. It's pretty quite complex to manage, but perhaps you can identify certain specific levels, you know, that it can increase in due time. Like for this year, let's try 5%. For next year, let's try 10%. For a series number of years until you reach as the minimum, you know, or maximum work from home arrangement as far as the number of places is concerned. So, however, if you want to insist, you know, that a certain level of employees will have to work in the workplace, then you have to initiate technologies that can reduce and lessen the infection of COVID-19. No, so I think it's very crucial and critical that governments need to invest on the integration of frictionless technology. You know, if it doesn't have the resources, enough resources to integrate frictionless technology in public sector workplaces, the work from home arrangement is still would require less budget kasi mas mura. But I don't know, since, you know, the government need to invest really a huge amount of resources in terms of information technology requirement. You know, imagine providing laptops to all of your employees, di ba? Of course, you know, in many of the enterprises and the companies, they provide laptops. You know, you don't bring home the desktop, you know, because in the event of an earthquake, you know, and then many of your employees were affected by the earthquake, that will interrupt the operation of the government, right? So you have to identify a specific number of headcount, you know, that you are willing to invest on as far as working from home arrangements concerned, because you have to ensure, you know, that the workplace still has people, still has the necessary requirement to ensure that it also becomes some sort of your backup, you know, in the event of a crisis. So another one is, of course, this is the traditional model. This is the work from home model that's been going on for many of the companies and corporations in the Philippines right now. It's the centralized work from home approach. Now, this is your business as usual work from home. Is this the kind of work from home arrangement that we're going to set up for our public sector? Is it centralized? You know, I don't know. No, you need to see, because this is some sort of an phase of experimentation. This is the business as usual. Of course, it is highly centralized, top down, and less innovation driven. Nobody wants that. But that, if that is the kind of arrangement that we can do at this time, a centralized work from home arrangement, then perhaps we can set that up. No, but this is the typical work from home arrangement. It's a centralized approach. So what I'm trying to say here is that the future of work, you know, is plural. It is diverse. It's not just the centralized work from home models. You know, it has to be flexible. It has to be agile, you know, as mentioned by Chair Bala, no, in terms of the work from home. But then, of course, again, we have to accept the fact that there are many things that we need to do. But what we can do is to simulate it. You know, if you want to set up something in terms of policy or a program, what the government should do, you know, to lessen the risk, you know, of cybersecurity incidents, to lessen the risk in terms of productivity, to lessen the risk in terms of, you know, those other types that we types of risk that we have in mind, what you need to do is to actually simulate it first, you know, at a certain level. No, not just like at right away, you know, the institutional level 100%. That's not a good way of doing it. So again, that's my reaction. Thank you very much. And I hope I was able to contribute to the conversation.
And thank you very much, Professor Sherman Cruz, founder, executive director, and chief futurist of the Center for Engaged Foresight. We also would like to call on Mr. Mark Baldo of the House of Representatives of the Philippines to share his thoughts on the provocations shared by our fellow scholars here today. Mr. Baldo, sir, you have the floor.
I would like to take a leaf of Professor Sherman Cruz's book and clarify that the hat I'm wearing in making my brief reaction is that of a student of the social sciences, which includes public administration. I think it's more relevant and meaningful in this instance. So I think the work from home arrangement that we're talking about in this webinar signals a new stage, not just in public management or administration, but in human civilization. Just yesterday, I was reading a book saying that we are seeing a new stage of evolution from Homo sapiens to Homo indoors, because now we spend almost all of our time indoors inside our homes. I would add to that by saying that, to be more accurate, we are in fact spending most of our time online, and the global health pandemic only amplified the state of affairs. Be that as it may, the presentations we have seen so far provide support for this cultural shift as being both necessary and desirable. More importantly, they point us towards some important questions on how we can make working from home work for people. I think that's the most important takeaway from the presentations this afternoon, including from the keynote speakers earlier. The shift of focus toward employee welfare is something we should definitely welcome. We are used to being focused on performance management and organizational effectiveness, but the COVID-19 pandemic has compelled most organizations to place higher priority on employee welfare. That is not to say that performance management and organizational effectiveness are rendered irrelevant. They still are. But organizations just have to realize that employee welfare is the essential foundation of driving performance and attaining organizational effectiveness. In conclusion, the shift to a work from home arrangement is a big social change. The repercussions will go well beyond the questions we are asking today. That is why it's important that we continue to have this kind of discussion moving forward. Thank you. Let's all hope for a better year ahead.
And thank you very much, Mr. Mark Baldo of the House of Representatives of the Philippines. Again, we would like to express our sincerest gratitude to our keynote speakers and reactors for today. We had Dr. Joyce Joya, of course, Professor Agus Pramusinto, Chairperson Alicia De La Rosa Bala, Dr. Lizanne Perante Calina, and Professor Sherman Cruz for being with us here today. Your lending of your expertise, experience, and mastery of your craft to the participants has certainly furthered the objectives of our webinar today as we explore adaptive and innovative strategies and policy perspectives that may turn organizational challenges during the pandemic into opportunities. We would like to call on Dr. Ferdinand Nico Bautista to talk more about these tokens for our distinguished guests. Dr. Bautista, sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Lance. Now, we all know that working during this pandemic has taken a toll not only on our organizations, but also to us as humans. As stated by our prestigious speakers, its effects entail a lot of change and a great need for us to think of ways to adapt to the future. These effects do not only limit our workforce physically, but also mentally. To adapt, we must aim for a healthier workforce. As the World Health Organization emphasized in their definition of health, it is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. With this, for us to adapt, we have to invest on health. From our token of appreciation, we would like to present the following certificates to our speakers and reactors. The certificate reads, University of the Philippines Diliman National College of Public Administration and Governance. Certificate of appreciation is hereby awarded to Dr. Joyce Joya as one of the resource speakers in the webinar entitled Future of Work in the Public Organization, Moving Forward During a Pandemic, a features oriented on work in public organization for the time of COVID-19, given this 19th day of December 2020, signed by Professor Reginald D. Ugadan, PhD, the College Secretary and Director of the Center for Public Administration and Governance Education, and to Professor Dan A. Sagil, our Dean from the National College of Public Administration and Governance. The same citation reads for Professor Agus Pramusinto, and for Honorable Alicia De La Rosa Bala. Also for our reactors, for Dr. Lizan Parente Kalina, Professor Sherman Cruz, Attorney Cindy May Yumang Medina, Attorney Carlo Paolo Murcia, and Mr. Mark Robert Baldo. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nico Bautista. Nevertheless, we hope that our discussions here today on the future of work have been as fruitful for you, friends and colleagues, as it has been for us. To tie all of the thoughts and everything else together, maybe call on Attorney Carlo Murcia of the Governance Commission for Government-Owned and Controlled Corporations of the Philippines for his synthesis. Attorney Murcia, sir, you have the floor.
Thank you to our presenters, namely Amy, Peter, Alan, Ish and Camille. They have prepared well considering their busy work schedule. Arguably, the concept of work-life balance has migrated to its current form, which is work-life integration. They were able to set aside time to conduct their respective studies and share the results with us here today. Going back to the presentations, various discussion points were presented. Each presentation dealt with a unique facet of public service during this pandemic and even beyond, hence the title, The Future of Work, namely turnover intention in light of a work from home arrangement, work from home as an employee friendly policy, and the next step or the future of performance monitoring reports. We were shown that number one, given work autonomy in a work from home setting, employee turnover intention is negated. Number two, work from home is an employee-friendly policy and it is recommended to be institutionalized as part of the civil service process. And number three, the automation of public servants' performance monitoring reports is helpful in producing accurate and unbiased data for government use. The different discussions brought forth by our presenters revolved around the individual civil servant and how the future of work accelerated by the current pandemic would directly affect their working conditions. We go back to the nucleus of everything that we have discussed today. The single most important factor or motivation that ties up all that we have encountered in this webinar. It is the individual civil servant. All of us here in this webinar, whether it be our viewers, distinguished guests, the team behind the webinar, most of us, if not all of us, have engaged in public service at one point in time. This webinar would not have been possible if not for the persistent effort of the entire team, composed of civil servants who took time out from their busy schedules to share their talents and expertise. As far as the present is concerned, and perhaps the foreseeable future, the civil service will not be functioning without the people comprising it. Service in whatever shape or form is by the people and for the people. We may concede that there is nothing inherently wrong with envisioning a future
where artificial intelligence may play a big role in the provisioning of service. Computers handling the bulk of the work, facilitated online transactions, and the like. Given all the potential of technology and how much it may greatly enhance our way of life, we must keep in mind that technology is merely a product of human ingenuity, and its overarching purpose is the enhancement of the quality of life. But what is the primordial reason for innovation? What is the driving force in coming up with ways and means to enhance the quality of public service, particularly during these unprecedented times of the pandemic? What do these innovations in the future of work address? The presentations were united in having a common variable, the only variable that is the focal point of concern, and that is the individual civil servant. Work arrangements, whether it be on-site or from home, performance monitoring of the public servants, the presentations dealt with them in a way that highlights the concerns of public servants relative to policy implementation during this time of the pandemic. We have embarked on this journey in organization studies. There is no course to talk about or facilitate the learning of if there are no organizations in the first place. And public organizations are composed of individuals in the form of civil servants. Public service by its people and for the people.
Thank you very much, Attorney Murtia. The past few hours have been fruitful for all of us here at the Future of Work team. Now, the past few hours have been fruitful for all of us here at the Future of Work team, and we hope it has been for you as well. We would like to thank all of our participants today, both at home and overseas, for joining us at this time. At the conclusion of our webinar today, the Future of Work team asks all of our participants to fill in a post-evaluation survey to gauge your satisfaction in today's program. Upon completion thereof, we will be sending the certificates of attendance to your respective emails. We say again, certificates of attendance will be sent to those participants who will successfully complete the post-evaluation survey that will be administered after the program. Thank you very much. But before we formally conclude our proceedings, may we call on Dr. Reginald Ugadan, College Secretary of the UP National College of Public Administration and Governance and Director of its Center for Public Administration and Governance Education, for his closing remarks. Dr. Ugadan, sir, have the floor.
Thank you very much, Lance, and thank you very much for all our participants. And of course, to Chair Bala for gracing our webinar today, and to Dean Dan, for being with us from the start until now, and also to our speakers, Dr. Joyce, Dr. Agus, to our reactors, Dean Lizan, Dr. Sherman, Attorney Cindy, who else? And also to our presenters. Thank you very much. I think I don't have any more to say because, you know, the discussions is really, really we have a lot of information that we get from this webinar. But one thing that I just want to say maybe is that, you know, for those who've attended, for the class on 210, you know, organization studies, I think this webinar has given us also, you know, a different perspective, as well as, you know, those different trends on different dimensions that you've learned from our class, starting from the public and private sector, the different environment, right, the leadership, culture, structure, process, the people, and also the organizational performance. I think this is a very good wrap for the class on organization studies. And of course, I don't like to end this webinar without thanking those people behind this Future of Work. I mean, your preparation was really, really awesome. Thank you very much. And of course, to our participants that have participated here. So I don't like to give more information about this, but, you know, I think this is a very good for us to end the year, right? To have this webinar. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And that was The Future of Work, Moving Forward During a Pandemic, a webinar presented by the University of the Philippines, Diliman, and the National College of Public Administration and Governance. This has been Lance Kalup, and on behalf of the Future of Work team, we wish you all well. Thank you very much for joining us at this time. Terima kasih at maraming salamat po.